Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Rancho Gordo, growing the best and most interesting heirloom beans available. Learn more at ranchogordo.com.
Welcome to Cooking in Mexican from A to Z. I'm Aaron Sanchez.
And I'm Sarela Martinez.
And we have the unbelievable pleasure of inviting an unbelievable chef, chef co-founder of Dough Donuts, like New Yorkina, just a wonderful, wonderful person doing representing our culture and our people with such honor and pride. Fanny Gerson is here, so we're really excited to welcome you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I just wanted to wax poetic a little bit about your career, because we're celebrating not only women entrepreneurs in the culinary world, but also Mexican women strong and proud. And for me, I think it's in my mom. Absolutely. It's important that our listeners hear a little bit about your unbelievable story and your journey. I mean, you have a formal food education, which consisted of 2 years in Mexico City and, of course, 2 years at the Culinary Institute in Hyde Park. Then, of course, you did some interning in Spain. Then you came back here, worked at 11 Madison Park, not too shabby of a place. Then you started La New Yorkina, which is this wonderful company that you started by selling Mexican-style artisanal ice cream popsicles, right?
Yeah, carts. Paletas, yeah.
Paletas in 2010. And then that closely was followed by Dough and the Flatiron District, which everybody knows about Dough. And you are the face and you are the creative energy behind it. You're the person that had launched that brand and made it what it is, where you took basically exquisite donuts and then you mixed that and melded that with traditional European and Mexican flavors. And that opened in the winter of 2010. So you're celebrating 10 years of doing this small batch bakery, artisanal bakery goods. And I just think that right there is so, so awesome. And
thank you.
And you're just introducing like the ice cream kind of popsicles,
yes.
Aren't you? Like the creamy popsicle, not
yeah.
just the ice, because like New Yorkina is known for like popsicles, but ice.
Like yeah. paletas.
Like paletas.
Exactly. So we started out making paletas, and then since then we've expanded. We have a shop in the West Village, and we do ice cream. We sell to restaurants. And then we do churros and tres leches and all kinds of confections and things like that, that, you know, kind of are a bit forced by the seasonality that we have in New York. But also I get to do all these other things that I love, especially in certain holidays like Dia de Muertos. I look forward to every year. I can make, you know, the traditional bread for Pan de Muertos any time of year if I wanted to, but I don't.
Yeah.
I save it for those special occasions. So it's very exciting to have a place that celebrates the sweetness of Mexico.
Yeah, and the thing is that people probably don't know that you can get your popsicles on the High Line.
Yes.
You know, she's got little carts like they do in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and you go up and you can get the popsicles. You know, in the summer, it's just wonderful to be able to have that nice, cool popsicle.
And I think what you're doing is very much in line with what we're getting accomplished here on this podcast in Cooking in Mexico from A to Z, where we're celebrating ingredients that represent our cuisine, Mexican cuisine. And on this podcast, we're going to demystify, we're going to celebrate, we're going to give techniques and how to use all these wonderful ingredients, and then back that up with wonderful stories that are personal to us and, of course, to you, Fanny, and to our special guests. And today we're going to focus on vanilla, which is going to be something that I think is going to create fireworks in this studio, because my mom is super passionate about it. And
yeah.
I know, Miss Fanny, you are And I'm looking forward to a little education here because I'm very used to listening to powerful Mexican women. It's part of my upbringing. So this is going to be
so lucky.
Exactly. This is no exception, and I think it's wonderful that I'm here because I can identify with your story. You're a writer, you're a cookbook author, just like my mom. You've been featured in many different publications from Edible Manhattan to the New York Times, Fine Cooking and Gourmet. And I just, your book, My Sweet Mexico. I mean, it's just an honor to have you here.
Don't you have a new book on popsicles as well?
Paletas? I have three books. So three the books? First one was My Sweet Mexico, then Paletas, and then Mexican Ice Cream.
Yeah.
And actually, I was just thinking about this now when we were in relation to the subject. I don't have a copy with me, but in the introduction of the ice cream book, I say something like, that vanilla and cacao, are indigenous of our land.
Yeah, of course.
And I forget, it's not that language exactly, but I remember my friend read it, and a friend of mine, and said, that's so strong, such a strong statement. And I was like, yeah, and it's not necessarily, when people think of vanilla, they don't necessarily think of Mexican food, or they don't necessarily think of a Mexican ingredient per se. But it is so, and doing ice cream, it's the number one selling ice cream flavor in the world.
And it originated in Mexico, in the state of Veracruz.
Exactly.
Which is, subject of one of my books, Arelas Veracruz. And when I discovered that the whole tradition and everything was, I was overwhelmed with emotion, let's say, because very few people know that vanilla comes from Mexico.
Mm. Yes.
And it's not just that it comes from Mexico, but that the method of fermentation and the way of using vanilla it takes about 10 years from a little plant to grow to become a vanilla bean. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that the plants, it's a climbing orchid. Mm-hmm. And people, it has to be pollinated. Mm-hmm. So that was the whole thing with vanilla. Because when the French came to Mexico, they thought, oh my God, we're going to take this ingredient and blow these people out of the world. But it took 200 years for them to be able to do that, mm-hmm. because they didn't realize that there was a tiny insect that pollinated the plant. Mm-hmm. So once it's pollinated and the beans grow, they're called vainas, mm-hmm. and they leave it on the plant for 9 months, and then it's taken out and sun-dried for another 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they lay it out. We went in Veracruz. They lay it out on this hot cement mm-hmm. floor, let the sun shine on it. Then they wrap it in blankets and let it sweat out. And then the next day they take it out again. So it's very, very high labor intensive plant. Mm-hmm. And then once it's fermented, it becomes this glossy black, brownish color, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And there's little crystals of the vanilla and the flavor on the outside. And then they're sorted according to the quality. And all the little pieces that fall, or the broken pods, are used to make vanilla extract. And those little pieces are also bought by Coca-Cola. So Coca-Cola is the biggest consumer of vanilla probably in the world.
Yeah.
So just so we're clear, so it's a climbing tropical orchid. So we want to be technical for all you botanists out there.
And there are two different kinds. There's the Tahitian and the Mexican, which is called Planiflora.
Okay. So I think it's safe to say that the Mexican vanilla is the most popular in the world. Because now I think it's important, we kind of talked about how vanilla, what species it is, how it takes the process to get it to where it's dried, how you steep it in alcohol to make vanilla extract, right? Now, why is there Madagascar vanilla and why is there Tahitian vanilla? Now, how does that come about? Did they take Mexican vanilla and plant them there? Or Are there a migration of ingredients? How does that work?
Well, they actually took them there from Madagascar and Tahiti, which is in Tahiti. Mm-hmm. So what happened was that for 200 years they were trying to figure out how to get it to grow in those places, but they didn't know how to pollinate it. Mm-hmm. So once this, I think it was a Belgian or somebody like that who discovered that there was this insect in there and how to hand pollinate them. So let's say in Veracruz, for instance, the school year is changed around so that the kids can pollinate the orchids because they're only open for 3 hours every, you know, once in their life. Wow. So they change the school year. The kids go to pollinate in the morning and then go to school in the afternoon.
It's incredible.
And as they get older, they start pollinating in other ways.
Yeah.
So talk to us about, a little bit about your relationship and with Vanilla Fanny. And have you been to Veracruz? How do you use it, et cetera?
Yeah. So when I did research for my first cookbook, for My Sweet Mexico, I spent almost a year traveling around, and Vanilla was, of course, a very important stop. But it was actually difficult to find places in general in Mexico that would open up. You know, there's a lot of sort of, you know, we say like people are very jealous, you know. Yeah, but I think it's more like protective of their, like, what do you think you're going to do? And actually, even though it was originated in Mexico, the supply is very small. Mm-hmm. But I ended up going to this this place where they harvest. And
Victor Vallejo or Heriberto?
Heriberto.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. I, you know, something that I grew up with thinking of, you know, you just get in a bottle and then eventually, well, you see the vanilla beans. Mm. But then to see from beginning to end, it was amazing. And then they had this bag, and just like Sarela was saying, they categorize them, right? So, but there's this bag, and she's like, these are the ones we can't really sell for a lot because they had like a lot of sort of white spots that were crystallized. But she said, but actually they make some of the best, you get some of the best flavor because it's just the natural sugars crystallizing. Mm-hmm. But it's something that, you know, it's not visually very appealing. So, you know, if you get sort of a pure one and then you get one with these sort of crystals, I'm going to go for the one with the crystals.
Gotcha.
And then, so obviously I use, and at La Neoyorquina, we do a Mexican ice cream vanilla. We use Mexican vanilla exclusively, but there was a shortage in the last few years. And that was, I'm like, what do? We can't, you know. And there's amazing vanilla from different parts of the world. But it's just important to...
How dare you, Fanny, even entertain the idea.
Exactly. So it's like, what do? And so we learned sort of how to stretch it. And then the problem is also that it's a small supply, but then there were also issues, you know, with the climate, but also with the, you know, drug political situation in Mexico as well. So, and also the big companies are the ones that can afford to pay more money, right? So there's a couple of bigger companies that have a monopoly on it, and they're not going to want to, you know, it's like, and it's so expensive. So all of these, it's so, you know, I'm like, I just want to use this ingredient, but it's not as simple as that.
I think you should recruit vanilla mules and they'll cross it across the border. And what do you got in your bag?
Vanilla, exactly.
You know, something like that.
But I will say two more things that I want to add. So one of them is that when this shortage started happening for all of these reasons, we started sort of figuring out how to stretch the vanilla as much as possible. You know, like we use the vanilla bean, then we rinse it, we dry it, then we use it for certain applications, then we grind it, we make a vanilla sugar. So for different things we stretch the vanilla as much as we can. And then we did have to eliminate it from some of the items just because we didn't have enough. And it was missing. It was always like, what is it? You know, it needs a little more. But the other thing that I want to mention in Veracruz, when you go there, you also see these amazing and intricate figures that they make with the vanilla bean. Like, have you seen those? They make flowers and ships and all these things. And the first time I saw that, I'm like almost sacrilegious. Like, you're wasting the vanilla for this, but it's not waste. It's you know, it's there.
Of course,
it's just as valid. But for me, I'm like, you're using this ingredient to make this, but it's and their craftsmanship is amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, we have to talk about Victor Vallejo.
Well, Mom, let's talk about the region. So you mentioned Veracruz, but the region that everyone should know is, of course, Pampantla. So can you speak about that little area and why it's known for vanilla?
It's called Totonacapan, because that's where the place where the Totonacs were, you know, born. Mm-hmm. It's near to one of the most wonderful archaeological sites called El Tajín. Mm-hmm. And the wonderful thing about El Tajín is that it's not, like, morbid. In fact, the main, images are of people smiling. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you know, vanilla there, you can understand why people are smiling, because they are the people who work the plants. Mm-hmm. But getting back to Victor Vallejo, he totally revolutionized vanilla growing in Mexico. He's from California. He moved there, and now his daughter Alma is very involved in the process. What he found was that they were letting too many vainas grow on the plant, weakening the flavor. Mm. So what he started doing is removing some of the beans before they matured to let them grow, you know, to its
accentuate their flavor.
Yeah, and so he totally revolutionized it. So when Mexican vanilla got a bad rap before he got there. Mm-hmm. And it's taken a long time because the Mexican vanilla extract, they added coumarin, which is a very pleasant tasting thing that's used for heart disease. It's a blood thinner.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, but people love that because it has kind of a buttery, wonderful taste. So when you see vanilla extract mix, that's a caution to say it has coumarin. Yeah. So there are very, very wonderful Mexican extracts now, pure, available. I would just look at Amazon. There were like 10 different kinds.
Wonderful. So we're talking about the maturity. So you dry the beans, right? You go, you know, it's they only are available to be pollinated for a very brief moment. We get the kids out of school. They're pollinating. We dry them 3 to 4 months, right?
The hot sun.
They're ready to rock and roll. Once you get them, and let's just say you get a whole dried bean, how should our listeners and home cooks hold on to them? You mentioned, Chef, about all the different ways you preserve it. Someone gets a couple of these at home. They're precious. What do you do?
There's sort of like the two schools there, whether you refrigerate them, you know, the way that you would, you know, kind of like a nut, because it has natural oils and you don't want it to go rancid. And then there's other people that say you should just keep them in an air dry container or jar or whatever, in a dry place.
Or put them in sugar as well.
Yeah, or put them in sugar. But it depends how you're going to use it. We normally, if it's not a warm environment, then you can keep, you know, kind of a cool dry, we keep it outside and very tight. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I was going to say is, like, even when I went to culinary school and, you know, through a lot of experience, I was always taught that, you know, the when you scrape the bean, that the little dots are what gives flavor. But actually, a few years ago, I took this sort of professional ice cream course upstate, and we had a whole, you know, sort of 2-hour sort of talk about vanilla, and it was not the case. And in fact, if you go to, like, you know, you look at big companies and you look at sort of vanilla bean ice cream, you know, it's something that you look at the dots and it makes you feel, oh, this is made with real vanilla. Mm-hmm. This means, like, it's more expensive or it's better flavor. And actually the best flavor is sort of attached right, like,
the membrane
so now you can buy, a lot of companies buy powdered, you know, so you can see the dots and you add it to your
mix
base and it looks like it's expensive. And you could use like a cheap vanilla extract and put that, but, you know, kind of fool the
the
customer. And I was, you know, that to me was, I'm like, because I spent so many, you know, I'm like, yes, this is what you're taught. And I still love, like, I'm still a sucker for seeing the vanilla, like the dots, hoping that they're using the actual entire bean.
So once you scrape it, let's say you get, we were taught, scrape the beans.
Because also, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
Because when they're green, they have thousands of seeds in there.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they're sweated and fermented and all that, the little seeds become like a paste.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So then you
concentrate.
So you open it and scrape it out, and that's what you use to cook. You know, one of the most fascinating things about Veracruz is that they use it in savory dishes.
I know. You have an amazing dish.
Yeah, pollo con chile seco. Mm. And it's just very simple to make. I made it for Amy the other day, and it was our producer. And and she loved it because it's so unexpected. And they use the regional products, which are oranges there. You know, when you go to Papantla, there are like orange groves all over the place and lime and all these wonderful things, and they mix it with this chili, this little chili that the comapa or serrano seco. Very few people know that there's some dried serranos, and you make it, and it's like it's an absolute easy, fabulous, very expensive dish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's very important for our listeners to know, is that you can use vanilla and savory applications.
Yeah,
you know, and this. You know, this recipe, I've had it many times. Mom, it's one of my favorites, by the way, that you make. You make everything's delicious, but that one in particular, because it surprises you. You know, you're talking about citrus and chicken, yes, and chili, that's obvious. But then you sort of, you pepper that with some of that beautiful, fragrant Mexican vanilla, and it takes you to another place. It takes something very mundane and boring like chicken and makes it special, right? I think something that's important too, and I would love you to answer this, Chef Fanny. Once you scrape the bean, whatever you want to do with it, put it in an ice cream base, whether use it in that savory, what do you do with the actual pod? Because that still has so much flavor. After you scraped it, do you put that in sugar? Can you steep that in something else to sort of continue that love if you go through all this trouble of getting Mexican vanilla?
Yeah, I mean, for me, if I'm going to scrape it, I use the bean. I use both, sort of scrape it. And actually, sometimes I don't even scrape it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just split it open and then let sort of everything sort of come out. And what I used to do before a lot was to do, like, when, especially when it comes to, like, dessert making, or, you know, whether you're making a flan or ice cream or something like that, you steep it. And you bring it to a boil or a simmer or whatever. But now, actually, I've been experimenting a lot in the last year of doing cold infusions.
Oh.
So you let it sort of overnight. It's a very subtle but different taste, because it's just sort of, you know, it's a very soft and natural.
But you just infuse it in
and
what?
And you just infuse it in the dairy.
In the dairy.
In the dairy.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then, or sometimes we've done it, if you do use it for, you can make a really nice sort of vanilla syrup, you know? So
that's,
you can
delicious.
Do like, and that's great for drinks,
yep.
Or just to put on top of, you know, fruit or something like that. You know, you make like sugar, equal parts sugar, water. But after you're done with whatever that application, you can't do that, you know, sort of, like, if you can do this at home, not necessarily professionally, but once you're done with that, I rinse them and then I let them dry, the beans.
And then you
can put them in sugar and eventually grind them, or you grind them. But the other thing you can do is actually with the bean, I had a chef that did this, that I never thought of it before, but it's kind of genius, that they you put it directly in flame. You know, so you get kind of like a charred vanilla flavor, and that's great for sauces. Even if for something savory, would be amazing. You know, you get kind of like a smoky.
Oh my God, that sounds fantastic.
Well, so, I think Pierre Gagné in France uses vanilla with duck and different, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I love his cooking. So I think vanilla is used in savory dishes in France a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just with Chef Jacques Torres, and I love reminding him that the best chocolate and vanilla comes from Mexico.
Yes.
it really eats at him. Actually, it doesn't eat at him. Actually, Jacques gets chocolate from the Yucatan, actually. His cacao comes from there. So he's actually a huge proponent for...
Go Jacques.
So he loves Mexican chocolate and vanilla.
This episode is brought to you by Rancho Gordo. Over the past 19 years, Rancho Gordo has led the revival of heirloom beans, taking the lowly bean from a healthy but neglected member of the vegetable family to a near superstar status ingredient. From growing the best and most interesting beans available to making sure all crops are fresh and a pleasure to cook with, Rancho Gordo's mission is to encourage cooks to experience and enjoy the unique flavors of heirloom beans. Rancho Gordo produces nearly 30 varieties of heirloom beans and lentils, as well as corn, grains, chilies, and other cooking ingredients. You can learn more at ranchogordo.com. That's RANCHOGORDO.com.
Now that we touch a little bit about the vanilla, how do you extract it? How do you work with it, right? Now you have it. You've mentioned, Chef, you can do it in a creme anglaise, obviously, or your base for your ice cream. You can infuse it into syrups, great for savory applications and cocktails, right? Is there anything else that comes to mind that vanilla is special? Let's try to describe the flavor of vanilla to somebody, because I think it's one of those flavors that's very distinct and very very unique.
How would you describe it, Fanny?
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely
I think it's medicinal in the best of ways.
Yes,
it's
like, you know, medicinal. It has like I do think that the Mexican vanilla in particular is a fruitier than you know, sort of the Madagascar or
Tahitian,
and those are amazing vanillas. Mm. They're just different. They're more plump. They're more, you know, like. Mexican vanilla is not as meaty as they are, but it does have a very distinctive fruitiness to it. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, sweet is not a flavor, but
That's how to describe it. I understand.
But, and I think you're right. Like, a kind of medicinal, but in a good way.
It's, like, funny. like, you think about the old school. You think of something like Coca-Cola, right? And you think of, like, sarsaparilla back in the day. And root beers and things of that nature. You know, you got to believe that, you know, yes, cassia bark, cinnamon, all these extracts, you know, things like that. But you got to believe vanilla was somehow in there, some way. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I think Coca-Cola and I think vanilla is a flavor profile.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? 100%.
They're the biggest consumer of vanilla, I think, in the world.
Yeah.
So it's good because they can use the... The desechos, how do you call it?
Yeah, like the scraps.
And they use it for that. Well, I don't know. I think that probably one of the growth industries is going to be using vanilla as a savory seasoning.
Yeah, I also think it would be great, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's not used in, like, barbecue.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think it's...
Absolutely.
It's really versatile. And you can use it in, and it's sort of a flavor that sometimes you don't even know it's there.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of like salt. It's a seasoning. It can be the star of the show, or it can be the best supporting actor.
Totally.
Or actress.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, in Veracruz, there's, all over Mexico, there are this Casa de Culturas, and people concentrating on something that's called La Tercera Edad, the third age. Which would be like after 65, the retirees, let's say. And in Papantla, there's a group of women who spend all their time developing recipes using the vanilla. And that's where I got the recipe for the chicken.
Oh, that's awesome.
And what's wonderful about that organization is that it's not just about cooking, but it's about maintaining all the traditions, the dance. The crafts.
Yeah, there's this amazing dance. They're like...
The voladoras.
Yeah, it's kind of a pole. I mean, you probably describe it better than I can, but they're called like flying
Voladores de Papantla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing the cycle of the sun. Yeah. And it's extremely dangerous, but it's a ritualistic, beautiful dance. And they have, you know, they have them in Chapultepec Park in Mexico City, right outside the Museum of Anthropology. And it's a tradition that has continued to live on.
I know. Beautiful. Like they have that whole, you know, right there in that park, they had the statue of the Aztec god Tlaloc. Remember?
Yeah.
They moved it and it rained for like 60 days in Mexico City. Remember? Like it was a statue and they moved the Aztec god of rain and he pissed on everybody. He was like, there you go.
He's like, you know. The one thing I did want to mention also, which we didn't talk about, is extract. You mentioned it a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit. What consists of an extract? Because, you know, an extract, I think, could be misconceived to some people. Nowadays, we're dealing in this age of shrubs and tinctures and all these kind of infused liquids that people are using in the savory, in the mixology, in the bar, and in the kitchens. What is an extract? I think that's very important because when you say the word extract, the first ingredient that you think of is vanilla. Like you don't think of ginger extract or an almond extract. Say that might be number two, but like why? What is it?
You soak the beans, the pieces that are left over in an alcohol for a certain amount of time. And that's a vanilla extract. But like I tell you, at some point they used to add, and in some places they still do, they add the coumarin because it's an additional flavor that people like.
But at its core essence, it's just alcohol, like grain alcohol?
Yeah.
Like what is it? Like grain alcohol, right?
Actually, they even make a liqueur, uh-huh. you know, made with vanilla. And it's called Xanath, which is the
how do we pronounce that? Chantax.
So anyway, so that liqueur, and very few people know anything about this liqueur. And it's a very vanilla, wonderful flavor. And there too, they use the little broken up pieces.
Yeah, and there's also sort of when you look for vanilla extract, there's going to be, like Sarela says, a lot of stuff that's vanilla flavoring, vanilla, and then there's also vanilla paste. So that is a very gummy kind of, and you see the seeds in it. So if you're going to use it, like look for pure vanilla extract, literally.
Have you ever ventured to make it your own? Fanny?
Yes, not very successfully, will say. Yeah, you know, I leave that to the experts. You know, when we were trying to sort of stretch it, they must have,
the magic.
They have and the knowledge. You know, there's a reason why. And there's a great company that you can get vanilla from all over the world online, Nielsen Massey. Mm-hmm. They've done a very good job, and you can get beans and extract and like all of these things that we're talking about. But when it comes to cooking with it, usually you want to add that at the end. So if you have something hot, because it's alcohol based, it's going to evaporate. Mm-hmm. So you're going to wasting.
And thank you for sharing that. And just to be clear, Chef Fanny's saying, if you're going to use these extracts, do it right before.
Yeah, like right at the end. You don't want to use it when it's very hot because then
you're going to dissipate the intensity and the flavor and it's going to become something that's going to be muted.
There's a company in Mexico, I think that if you can find the product, it's called Gaia, Gaya. And they were the first ones to really start commercializing vanilla.
Yeah.
But there was, because it became so popular, there were like a lot of infighting there, as usual.
That doesn't sound Mexican at all.
Yeah.
Fanny, could you please touch upon how do you use vanilla in baking? Because I think people are familiar with it, obviously, in ice creams and as a flavoring agent. But if you wanted to introduce vanilla in the baking, at what stage or what process would you do that?
It really depends on sort of what you're doing. Because
like if you're making churros, for instance.
Like if you're making churros, that's a very good example.
You would do it in your pâtisserie or what?
So if... It's almost, if you were going to make in churros, you could use it in two ways. You could use it in sort of the liquid that you're going to be making the churros to infuse a little bit. Mm-hmm. But probably because then it's fried afterwards, where you're going to get the most is you could do a vanilla sugar to roll them afterwards.
Let's describe a churro.
You know? Yeah, so it's a fritter.
a fried donut, if you will.
With a particular, you take them out with a particular tip out of your dough bag. How do you call it?
Yeah, like a piping bag, a star tip. It's like long, kind of crunchy, but with a bit of chewiness inside.
Another great contribution that Spain has given Mexico is the churro.
Yeah.
The churro con chocolate is something that's iconic in Spain. You have to have it while you're there if you ever have a chance to visit. But yeah, the churro is something that is now, I think, associated more with Mexican cuisine than Spanish, to be honest. I think it's something that is perfect.
I think so,
with
too.
With canela, you know, Mexican flavored cinnamon on top. There's nothing more joyful and blissful
it's
in the world.
It's the best.
It really is.
But sort of going back to your question, you know, I think in most recipes, baking recipes, I would dare to say, at least American, or this side of the world, I would say, like in North America, you'd see probably like at least 80% of dessert recipes or something like that has vanilla, you know, in cookies and muffins and cakes. And, you know, it's like I said, it's like the salt. It's like the salt of the sweet world.
Yeah. So usually it's put in, if you're whipping eggs, for instance, or creaming butter, you know, for a recipe, or making a creme anglaise, you know, that's when you would put in the vanilla extract. You know what I mean?
Well, one of the most ways that they use vanilla that I hate is making it with vanilla candles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You know, I got to say, first of all, this has been unbelievable. And I just think, you know, what's really cool about it, being in this studio with three very powerful women, that I look at vanilla, there's this thought process like, is an ingredient male or female?
Or female.
There's no more female ingredient than vanilla.
Oh, that's the one. That's,
I mean, it's just because it looks like the divine feminine. Yeah, I think there's a lot of really beautiful sort of, I don't know, metaphors in there when you talk about
the divine feminine
is the vanilla to me.
Yeah, I think so too. The fact that, you know, like even how it's birthed, through the orchid and how it's nurtured, even the name.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to travel to Veracruz, I mean, it's very hot there. I mean, in this particular area, it is so hot. They have a vanilla festival.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and
I've never been.
No.
Yeah. No, not yet. Road trip.
Road trip. You have to go there. Well, you could fly to Costa Rica and make it kind of, actually this, because it's a big oil, petroleum producing area. It's amazing that you have this two high money products living next to each other, because Costa Rica is right next to Papantla, and that's where they have the biggest producers of oil right there in that area. And that the fact that vanilla can survive under those situations is amazing. Yeah. And also because it's up there north near the Gulf, it's on the Gulf near the Gulf. They're often hit by tornadoes and hurricanes,
big time,
and they say that the best vanilla comes when there are five cyclones or five hurricanes that hit the area. So they say because they get the extreme humidity and then it dries and then again. So that's the cinco ciclones or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting thing. So if you want to go to not just to Papantla, not just because of Papantla, but because you have got to visit El Tajín.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is the most amazing.
It's amazing.
It's the most amazing, very undiscovered archaeological site.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we would be remiss, all right, Fanny, if we didn't mention your new project, which is going to be very exciting. It's going to be called Fan Fan. Can you talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing there? Because we're kind of coming to the conclusion of this unbelievable podcast, but we want to make sure that everybody that's listening knows where to find you and continue to support you. You're a true chingona and a true orgullo mexicana. It's unbelievable. So please tell everybody what you're going to be doing next.
Yeah, so I'm going to be opening a new donut concept called Fan Fan Donuts. My sister, that's one of her nicknames for me, and I wanted a name that was playful and fun and that kids could pronounce, that different languages could pronounce. And it's really going to be a community-based place. It's going to be in Brooklyn, in Clinton Hill, Navy Yard area, and we're going to open sometime late spring, early summer.
Perfect.
And
how can people follow you? Is there Instagram website?
We have an Instagram. It's the Fan Fan Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, at La Neoyorquina, we launched last year in Whole Foods, paletitas, mm-hmm. with these branded freezers. And so we're hoping to be able to, you know, we're in the middle of sort of trying to raise capital and hopefully, you know, expand nationwide to get paletas all across the U.S. But now we're able to ship a lot of our products through Gold Belly. So you can, if you're in different parts of the country and want to taste some of the stuff that we do, you can check us out at laneyorquina.com.
I love that. And I think this is really important because you're doing something that I think is so important because you're taking aspects of Mexican culture but bringing them to the masses and in doing it in an authentic and real way. And I think you should be commended for that. And
thank
I think
you.
It really because there's a lot of things that are being exploited about our culture and our food, and you're doing it the right way. You're not compromising, and I think that right there speaks volumes of your character and who you are.
And can I just mention your husband's restaurant?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I absolutely love, I can never remember the name though, but the
Casa
thing is,
Publica.
Casa Publica
in Williamsburg.
And it's the one place where the food is really Mexican. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have the best tortillas, the absolutely best.
The carnitas are
fantastic. The sauces are fabulous. And it's right around the corner here somewhere, no?
It's in Williamsburg, so it's not too far.
I have to say, again, we're beyond grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so honored
for being
to be
here. Please be on the lookout for Fan Fan that's going to be coming down your way. She's going to continue being this pioneer in everything sweet that's Mexican, just
yes.
like her.
I know every time I see her, I want to pinch her cheeks.
Like if you rub her arm, like vanilla and canela comes out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so it's just wonderful, wonderful having you here. You honor us with your presence.
Thank you so much.
And it just, please, everyone out there listening, please make sure that you keep in touch with Fanny Gerson.
And that you check us out, you know, cooking in Mexican from A to Z.
Absolutely.
Know, you're the A and I'm the Z.
And we're going to continue to bring to light, demystify, celebrate, show you technique, all backed with stories, celebrating Mexican ingredients. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Adios. Cooking in Mexican from A to Z is powered by Simple Cast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without your support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like. Tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.